All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Wednesday, August 23rd. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Don't call him James Shields. And we're from Daily Fantasy Sports.
You call me Big Game James. That's it.
They call you Big Game James? Who calls you that?
I said, you can call me that. I didn't claim anyone called me that, all right?
Big Game James Davis. I like that. We're from Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings, DFSR.com for short. Still time to grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. That's going to cover NFL season as well, which is breathing down our neck as we update a lot of our ebook and all the other stuff that we have available for NFL. That is all covered under one subscription, so it's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, there's so much to talk about today in the world of sports. Mostly, I mean, we had a huge basketball trade last night. I know this isn't the basketball pod. I almost want to do a basketball pod just to talk about the Celtics and Cavs trade. We have that. We have football, kind of, like I said, breathing down our necks. And then we have James Shields Day here in baseball. So let's just talk about baseball because it's the baseball podcast. We're going to skip over the 3 o'clock games. I think there's two of them. If you're interested in playing those, you can go over and see what our projection system is throwing out for the Baltimore, Oakland, and then Milwaukee, San Francisco game. I think we can kind of skip over those for our purposes here. Pitching on the evening slate, it feels weird. There's expensive guys in not so great situations. There's some cheap guys that you don't feel that it's easy to sort of simultaneously feel okay about and not so great about. Where should we even start with pitching tonight? I mean, you want to start with the expensive guys and like make the case for and against them? Do you want to start with some of the cheaper guys? I'm going to let you kind of take the wheel, buddy. You take the wheel and decide where we're going to go.
Oh, my heart's pounding in my chest. I don't know where to go from here. Okay, well, let's talk about Corey Kluber, because I think Kluber is going to have reasonable ownership, and it's interesting on the heels of Carrasco's performance last night against Boston. So Carrasco last night, as people know, he was a recommendation for me for big tournaments as a guy who had some upside, but obviously, like, you know, some downside since he was up against the Red Sox. What I pointed out yesterday was that the Red Sox are a bottom 10 team in the league against in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching, but that they don't strike out a lot. So Carrasco went out and got his Ks, 6 Ks in 6 2/3 innings, but he also gave up 6 earned runs, which was not necessarily very good. And by the way, Doug Kvister, just complete game, 6 Ks, forget about it. No issues at all. It's a little bit of the old in and out, you know. 114 pitches, give me a break, baseball. sorry, what's that talking about? I blacked out for a second. Right, Corey Kluber. So the difference between Kluber and Carrasco is that Kluber actually is just like a full-on A-plus level ace with a 2.5 xFIP, 12 Ks per nine, sub-2 walks per nine. I think that even in light of Carrasco's performance last night, that people will sort of be able to divorce themselves from that memory and think about rolling Kluber out there, and for good reason. Like I mentioned, he's an ace. He also averages about 7 innings per start, and he's the only really pitcher of that pedigree on this slate. And as soon as you step away from Kluber, you're making some very serious concessions. You know, you either go down to guys, you know, say like Rich Hill on an innings limit, or you go down to Severino, who's up against Detroit. So now it's like, you know, a worse pitcher in a similarly bad matchup. You know, you're giving up a lot by shifting off of Kluber, and I think the payoff would have to be pretty big in return.
Yeah, Kluber is a -185 favorite right now. That's around the same area as Carrasco, a little lower. I think Carrasco finished at like -200 last night, or like the close at -200. Now, he's clearly the best pitcher on the slate. He's probably the, you know, top three best pitchers in baseball. You know, when Kershaw's healthy, maybe like top four. But Kluber, if you take WAR as just the metric for how good a pitcher is, he's second in the majors this year behind Sale. Which is interesting though. Sale's, this is like not, really doesn't have anything to do with Kluber, just how good Sale's been. But Sale has a 7.4 WAR, and then Kluber's the second with 5.1. So it's like almost two and a half WAR less than Sale. And then like Scherzer and like Severino are kind of in that same category. But Sale's been so good. Anyway, Kluber, if you figure he's like the second best pitcher in baseball around there, it's just one of those things. Like, do you want to take him in a not very good matchup? I think I'm with you. Like, the Ks are so elite, and just like his numbers are so elite that I think he's sort of, I hate to say this, like matchup proof, because I think it's a really stupid term, but he's sort of gets close to falling into that category. It's close for him on FanDuel. There's some cheaper guys, like you mentioned, and we can get
into. I think there is such a thing. It's not matchup proof, by the way. Like, I think you acknowledge that it's a stupid term. I completely agree. If he were up against the Astros, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. But the Red Sox, while they remind, like, they have that same kind of cachet when you say their name, the performance just hasn't been there. And they do have a fair amount of right-handed bats that do struggle against right-handed pitching. So I think that the matchup is not good, but it's not bad either. That's my take on it.
Yeah, no, and I think it could be when we're all said and done that he is like the cash game pitcher on FanDuel. I do not think we get there on his price on DraftKings. He's just 12-7. No, I don't think so. 12-7 for this matchup is just probably too steep of a price to pay. Another guy that falls into the just too expensive category on DraftKings, at least, is Severino. He's at 12-3. It's a little closer decision on FanDuel where he's under 10,000. Severino, he's been sort of, there's been times where he's been sort of boom or bust lately, but he, again, falls into that close to elite category, 10.5 strikeouts per nine, 2.5 walks per nine. The Detroit, I wonder sometimes too, like this Detroit team, if they carry also like a little more cachet than is the reality for them. So like they have obviously guys like Cabrera in the middle of the lineup, Kinsler at the top, but this lineup is like not very good. I know Upton's having a good year. I can subscribe a lot of it to luck. And then after Cabrera, you have Castellanos. He's fine. Victor Martinez is pretty much a shell of what he once was. And then James McCann, Presley, and Jose Iglesias, presumably. I mean, is the Tigers lineup a team that we maybe give too much credit for because we're using the Tigers of the past when they have like JD Martinez sitting in the middle of the lineup and everyone was just maybe a year and a half younger than they are now as they all get a little bit older. Do you think, is Severino kind of, is this an okay matchup for him? Is like we just can like ignore the name the Tigers and just say Severino is just in a good matchup?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think what I said probably still holds on some level where you're basically just doing the same thing, but you get a slightly worse version of it. I do think the Tigers are basically the same matchup as the Red Sox when you break it down by the numbers. So I think that's probably pretty fair.
Severino is the highest money line pitcher on the day at minus 200 right now. He started at minus 210 down to minus 200. It's still the highest win expectation of any pitcher on the slate. I think I probably would prefer Kluber for 1,100 more on FanDuel. And like I said, I think they're just both completely out of consideration on DraftKings because they're simply just too expensive. I think that is going to be... It's not going to be a close call because I think I'd probably rather just grab Kluber. He's just a safer commodity in general, though I do like the matchup here for Severino. In the cheaper, once we get down below those two guys, there are some cheaper arms going here. We'll probably focus a little bit more on DraftKings. One guy that our system is throwing out there right now, even on FanDuel, and I'm a little concerned, is Luke Weaver. So he gets the matchup against the Padres. He's 7,800 on FanDuel, and I think he's like really cheap on DraftKings. Let me just look real quick. Yeah, he's 6,900 on DraftKings. He faces the Padres. It's a pretty good matchup. He just hasn't pitched a ton. Is this a situation where you would feel comfortable? Like right now, Luke Weaver is in the top, our overall top FanDuel lineup. Is that something that you feel good about? Like you wouldn't mind having that change before a lineup lock? What are your thoughts on Weaver?
Well, the last update that came in actually did take him out and put Kluber atop it. So, yeah, but just the fact that he was there lets you know that it's pretty close. Weaver's weird because he's been mostly a reliever this season. He hasn't pitched very much overall this season. And in the two starts he did pitch, he was not super great, but he did strike people out. And if you're going to average 13 strikeouts every 11 and a third innings, the way he did in those two starts, you've got a tremendous value on your hand for DraftKings purposes. I don't think... It's hard for me to picture talking myself into going there for cash games on FanDuel unless, I'm willing to be persuaded, like if Vegas makes a case for it, or maybe there are some really expensive bats we decide we want to get in there. But I think overall, just spending the extra $4,000 a pitcher and getting the additional safety of Kluber is probably worth your while. But the matchup is tremendous. I mean, he actually checks all the boxes for me in terms of a perfect starting pitcher too on DraftKings, and that the matchup is the full-on 10. You get the Padres top K team in the league against right-handed pitching, bottom two WOBA. So you really can't do much better in that department. He does have real case stuff. He doesn't go deep into games, but that should be mitigated by the fact that he does really strike people out. So I think, yeah, for DraftKings purposes, I suspect he'll be very highly owned. I suspect he'll still be in 100% of our lineups at a $6,900 price tag, and it's probably correct.
Lynn struggled with the Padres last night. That we kind of said that on the podcast yesterday. We played Lynn on DraftKings, but instead, there was some concern, like the regression for him was kind of real, and he just wasn't the pitcher he had been. And not to say that one game sample size should like say clap our hands and say we were correct about that, but he did struggle last night against the Padres. I know some people are going to say, oh, look at that, look what happened last night. This guy's just a different pitcher, right? Like he is a guy that can strike out more than Lynn. He controls the walks, if he can control the walks enough, then I think that he's in a good spot. And he's in that same kind of price tier. I think it's just, like you said, completely fine to think about him for starting pitcher two. Let's talk about some of these other guys in the mid tier. One of the guys that's showing up pretty high, I wouldn't say he's come out of nowhere this season, but he's had a very good season, is Zach Godley. He gets a Mets team that is just a very different Mets team than it was like a month ago. They've lost Duda. They've lost LJ Bruce. They're a little bit banged. Oh, they've lost Curtis Granderson to the Dodgers. So like, this is just a very, very different team. Do you see Godley as being in a pretty good situation against the Mets?
Yeah, I love Godley here. We've talked about this before, but the Mets season-long stats are a little overinflated. If you want to compare them to, their kind of established baseline, no Duda, no Granderson, they already weren't that great against right-handed pitching. So I do think the Godley's in a great spot. I mean, Vegas likes it. Godley this season striking out better than a batter per inning, walking fewer than 3 per 9, 3.25 xFIPs just elite, and a lot of that comes from the fact that he generates a ton of ground balls. So I think if you're looking for safety in the starting pitcher like one-ish slot on DraftKings, he's a really great play. I don't think I'll wind up going there on FanDuel just because I don't know. Like, I guess I don't know why I wouldn't just play Severino for 1,000 more rather than Godley, even though Godley's matchup's a little bit better. I like Godley fine. I suspect we'll see decent ownership for him on both sides.
Yeah, no, he's a great tournament play on FanDuel, just because I do think more people will be inclined to play Severino here, though Godley's numbers are sort of in the same range, 9.5 Ks per 9. He's just been very, very good pitcher. Considering he has to pitch in half his games in what's considered to be one of the best hitters' parks in baseball, makes these numbers probably look even that much better. He's seen a dramatic K increase since last season, where he was only striking out 7 batters per 9, but he did show flashes of strikeout stuff in the minors. So I do think that if he's settling in as like this is his new normal, or this is just what he's going to be as a major league pitcher, I don't think this is just him running hot. I think this is probably what we can expect from him going forward. He, again, is another big money line guy, minus 160 right now. Mets only around 4 implied runs. This Mets lineup, when you look at the projected lineup for them, it's just so garbage. I mean, like Brandon Nimmo hitting leadoff. They have 2 guys in the middle of the lineup in Conforto and Cespedes that you're worried about. Like, if Wilmer Flores, he's way better against lefties than against righties, so that's a problem. And then it really gets bad. Like Dominic Smith, Ahmed Rosario, Travis d'Arnaud. Mm-hmm. So this is just this team is a shell of basically what they once were. I love him as a GBP play. He's probably a little expensive here at 9.7 on DraftKings, though I think you can make a case for it. Another guy that's showing up high in the system, at least for DraftKings, not high in the system, but just like likes the system likes him for the price, is Mike Fiers. He's facing Washington. Washington's another team that's probably just a little different than they were, mostly because when you lose Bryce Harper, your team gets way worse than whatever the version of your team was when you had Bryce Harper. Do you think that like the changes for them, so like they don't have Trey Turner, he's been out for a while though, they don't have Harper in the middle of the lineup, do you think the changes for the Nationals just getting worse make Fiers a play here? Pretty big money line guy, not like the best pitcher in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can look at Fiers on DraftKings, maybe again in that starting pitcher two kind of slot. You'd obviously get a tremendous savings on him playing there. I mean, he's about as expensive as Luke Weaver. He's 7,300. I do think even in the absence of Harper, the Nationals still aren't a very great matchup. I mean, the fact is the Nationals were about second in the majors before Harper went down in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. They've slipped down into the third slot now, but that still means that there's other guys on that team besides Harper. Like they've taken 3,800 plate appearances against right-handed pitching in order to put those numbers up, and it's pretty significant. I mean, they don't really strike out a ton. Yeah, missing that huge bat out of the middle of the lineup and all the additional pop definitely means something, but I don't think I wouldn't just dismiss him out of hand. Not saying you did that, but I wouldn't dismiss him out of hand as a result. I do think Fiers probably underrated in general as both a fantasy commodity and a pitcher overall, but not probably what I'm looking to do on DraftKings. Like if I can get, like for instance in our lineups, like he's showing up, but you can also shave off a point and get Zach Godley in those lineups, and I think as the day goes along and more cheap value opens up, that might be where we wind up settling.
Yeah, I agree with you. One guy I also forgot, Brian Goodwin, was having a good season for the Nationals. He has been hurt too. They really just had a ton of injury problems this season. Still in the middle of the lineup, yeah. Is something that you're concerned with. Murphy is a real bad. Howie Kendrick at least can hit, doesn't strike out a ton. Zimmerman is fine. So like, it's not like this isn't the Mets. Like they haven't gone from gone to the point where the Mets have gone. So I really wasn't kind of saying that. They just are a significantly worse team than they were at the beginning of the season. Most mostly just because they've the injuries have just really kind of crushed them. Is there anyone else I missed here? We covered a lot of different guys here: Kluber, Weaver, Severino, Godley, Fierce. Does anyone else kind of stand out to you, maybe for a tournament play with some upside, or is it time, should we just move on?
Just sounds like I live in New York City, but right now, by the way, just sirens blaring as I try to record this podcast. I don't. I live in lovely New Hampshire. So yeah, I guess Rich Hill is a guy that I always feel obligated to bring up just because he's got really good stuff. But the concern for me with Rich Hill, I think a lot of people will look at him as a potential big tournament play. And so mostly I just want to address him here because, yeah, Vegas doesn't love the Pirates to put up a ton of runs today. But on the same token, like, Rich Hill really doesn't go deeper than 5 innings per game. He's averaging 5.2 innings per start. And unlike some of the other guys the Dodgers have thrown out there, like Alex Wood comes to mind, I just don't know that Hill has that kind of transcendent level upside that you need in order to justify pivoting onto him and still paying a fairly hefty price tag at 8,800. So, like, I would always prefer Zach Godley over Rich Hill in that similar spot, and that's kind of where I'm going to lean. But now, other than that, I don't think that really there's anyone else I'm taking very seriously here.
Yeah, Marcus Stroman, he has like some K upside against the Tampa Bay team that does strike out a lot. He's coming a little bit cheaper on FanDuel, only 9,100. I don't think the K stuff is high enough for him, but as we've mentioned before with Stroman, he's such an elite ground ball guy. I believe he has the highest ground ball rate in the majors this season, 63% ground ball rate, which is just insanely high. When you have that kind of ground ball rate, you can duck out of some of your K's just because you go so far into games, and that's pretty much the story with him. Like, he's able to go, I don't know, 6+ innings basically every single time out that he pitches, outside of the times when he's just getting kicked out of games for like looking cross out at the ump. That happened like 3 starts ago where he just sort of like looked a little weird, and then him and Russell Martin just both got instantly ejected from, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this, but like there's this huge thing going on with the umpire saying they're being mistreated, and then like by the players, and they wore like armbands to unify themselves that they were being mistreated. I was like, man, we've gone way off the rails, like society wise when umpires are complaining that they're being mistreated by like baseball players who like are arguing balls and strikes or whatever. It's like this is the most insanely crazy argument. Basically the league was just kind of like to the umpires, like, knock it off or you're all fired. And they're like, oh, okay, never mind. We're not going to wear those armbands anymore. Like, we're good. it's all good. Never mind. We're just being treated fine. But anyway, Stroman, he averages around 6.4 innings per 6.4 innings per start. That's about as good as you'll see from any pitcher in baseball. And it's mostly because he's able to get out of innings without too much damage by just inducing ground balls and double plays and just having quick at-bats. So I don't think I'd want to pay all the way up to 11.5 on DraftKings just because there's not nearly enough strikeout upside. But 9,100 on FanDuel, I can make a case for it and just hope that he kind of goes long in games. And I know I just filibustered about umpires and Marcus Stroman. You still there, buddy? Just make sure you're still on the line.
I'm still on the line, buddy. I'm just listening.
Yeah, sometimes I just get rolling downhill and I don't know where the mouth's going to take me. All right.
I don't know what to say. Dude, you brought such hot fire. I'm just bathing it.
Bathing in hot fire. All right. Before we get to some stacks for and some of the bats, why don't you hit us up with a sponsor?
Before we get to the stacks and bats, let's talk about FantasyFactor.com, Doug. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go if you want to play salary cap games like you're used to, but without all the sharks chomping and gnashing in the water. Nom, 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 nom. So why are you laughing?
Just keep going.
Should we redo this? It's in the middle of my library.
No, we're not going to keep. We probably right, should. Well, here's the thing. We probably should.
I'm going to start over at sharks. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. With all the sharks. Darn it. Okay, one time. 3, 2. With all the sharks gnashing their teeth in the water, Doug. Nom, 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 nom. So you head over to fantasyfactor.com. Use promo code DFSR, and you can get a 25% no-drip deposit up to your first $100 deposited. That's fantasyfactor.com. Great for casual players playing between $5 and $100 per night. Let's go.
All right, happy James Shields Day. Shields is pitching tonight. Well, it's really funny. When you type in, you know, we use Fangraphs a lot too, just like for quick lookups on stuff, just for a lot of stats. Fangraphs is great for that. And if you know anything about baseball, you've been there probably many times. We account for a lot of their traffic. But when you type in James Shields Fangraphs into Google, the first thing that comes up is James Shields player page, which makes sense. The second thing that comes up is an article from 2016. So last year, where the article is titled, James Shields has been messed up for a while. So that article was written more than a year ago, and yet James Shields is like still walking around with this major league gig. It's well known at this point that he's, I mean, is he the worst? I know we say this a lot because there's a lot of bad pitchers. Is he on the short list of worst pitchers in the baseball that have like everyday gigs?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the fact that he just keeps going out there and gets to touch like almost 200 innings a year is pretty remarkable at this point. I mean, his downfalls are well documented. He's bad in every single statistical category for the most part. Particularly comical to me, and I can't even really square this circle in my own mind, is the 17.8% home run to fly ball ratio, because you're like, oh man, poor James Shields, he's probably running bad. Except for when you see that he got a 17.8% fly ball percentage last year, or home run to fly ball percentage last year, and a 17.6% home run to fly ball percentage year
when he pitched with the Padres and Petco. So it's not even like he was...
Well, this is what I mean. James Shields, with all this to say, James Shields might be the most prolific home run giving up guy. There's no real great word for this, unfortunately. He might be the most prolific giver of home runs that we've seen in the modern era. And he just keeps getting to go out there and do his dance where he just gives up home run after home run after home run. It's truly something. And if you're looking for not only great upside now because his K's are down, and the home runs are obviously through the roof, but you get the safety as well. He walks guys. He just doesn't really get guys out. It's a truly... one of the very best matchups you could ever possibly imagine.
Yeah, Twins.
Yeah, I'm all over.
The Twins have the highest implied run line of the night, as well. They should in this matchup. Pretty much everyone in the lineup is good to go here. I mean, Dozier's probably going to be Dozier's gotten pretty expensive, so you're gonna have to save at pitching to pay the 4-3 price tag for him. Kepler at 33 looks fine. They've kind of switched around the middle of their order a little bit. Like last night, they moved Polanco up. Eddie Rosario has hit in the cleanup spot. Pretty much every Twin is on the table here, and I think that's not going to be that's just not going to be lost on a lot of people. Most people at this point know. The Shields is pretty bad. The walks are horrible. Like you said, the home runs are horrible. Everything about him is horrible. He's basically just a totally different pitcher, a shell of what he once was when he was, like you said, Big Game James early in his career.
Can I give you a quick stat? Because yeah. I just looked this up. So from 1933 to now, that was an arbitrary number I entered into Fangraphs. The most home runs per nine ever given up, okay, in the history of the game over the course of a career was 1.93. The second highest is 1.74. That's basically James Shields' average over the last few years. If you want to sort by home run to fly ball percentage, that would put him in the top 10, the top five pitchers all time with 400 innings or more in terms of home run to fly ball percentage. So he's in rarefied air here, like Death Valley sorts of air. If you want to figure out the home run to fly,
I was gonna say the balls are in rarefied air as they just fly out of the stadium.
Yeah,
like...
yeah. A mic drop.
Let's all right, after him, I do think the Twins are gonna be a popular play today. Like I said, these are things over the course of a season that are just not lost on even casual players at this point. Like most people can identify when guys like this are on the docket and just kind of target against them. After the Twins, though, other teams in good spots. There are a couple other sort of gas canny like pitchers going here. What are your thoughts? Who do you think you'll stack after the Twins?
Yeah, I think the Diamondbacks are pretty interesting. You know, I talked about them yesterday as a team you would stack, you know, mostly the 2-3-4 hitters. Those are really where the sweet spot is. But today you get Chris Flexen, who's a right-handed pitcher. So I think you can even dip into some of the lefties there at the top of the lineup. But Flexen's pretty interesting too, because he's just got peripherals to where he will never even be in those qualified pitcher categories the way James Shields or some of these other guys are. 5.7 Ks per nine, 6.55 walks per nine, 2 home runs per nine, 5 starts a season. I mean, that's embarrassingly bad. We recommended stacking against him last time. He went out there, struck out one batter and allowed 4 walks and gave up a home run in 5 innings. So this guy is just horrendous. One of the very worst pitchers in all the major leagues at this point in his career. And, you know, the Diamondbacks, yeah, they're better against left-handed pitching for sure, but when it comes to a guy like Chris Flexen, it's really hard to believe that Paul Goldschmidt's going to be up there being like, darn, if this guy was only a left-handed pitcher, I could make contact against him, but I guess now I'll strike out.
This is the wrong side of my platoon, so I guess I'm screwed.
Yeah. Oh, well, exactly. So, yeah, now I'm going to be all over Chris Flexen, like white on rice.
I will say yesterday during the podcast, I was like, you can never trust the Diamondbacks, what they're going to do with their lineups, because they just do nonsensical things. And my example was that maybe they hit Chris Iannetta leadoff. I was wrong by one spot. They hit him second. So they hit Peralta, who can't hit lefties first, so that makes sense. Then they moved Iannetta up into that spot. They moved A.J. Pollock down. So congratulations.
Well, hold on. Let me be clear for a second. If I knew Chris Iannetta was going to bat second, I might not have been as bullish on him. But, yeah, he's pretty cheap. Oh, a guy I didn't mention, actually, just Jake Lamb. He's a guy who will move up in the order a little bit against a righty. You know, sometimes he gets moved down against lefties, but definitely a solid play in that three hole tonight.
Another team that is in a good spot here is the Astros. Now they're going to face, they're facing Edwin Jackson. Edwin Jackson had this season, right? He has a 3.4 ERA. Do not be fooled by that.
That sounds pretty good, though. That sounds pretty good. So why are we going to stack the Astros against this?
He still stinks. He stunk for a while, and he still stinks now. He's just been very lucky with BABIP. Like, so he's running with a 276 BABIP off. That's 20, it's like 30 points lower than his career average. The xFIP is, like I said, over 5. He strikes out less than 7 guys per 9. He's just bad. And I like when bad pitchers have been sort of running a little bit hot for a short period of time, and that just kind of jades people's view of like what they actually are, because people, if there's one thing that there's one thing you can set your clock to in baseball, is that people just cannot deal with sample size things. Like, they like, and I'm saying people, I mean like casual fans, just have 0 to 0.0 clue about like what an actual sample size is for or whatever. And then to the point where actually, if you say sample size, like, you get like, sometimes you get like the like shut up nerd kind of thing, because like people are just so, they're just so convinced that like 20 at bats or something like that is a sample size, or even 100 or whatever. Edwin Jackson has a long history of stinking real bad. He's got 1700 innings of less than 7 Ks per 9 under his belt at this point, and more than 3.5 walks per 9. Still very bad. The Astros only problem here is they're just kind of expensive, so they just spent the whole season being pretty good, and that's really the only real issue with them. I like them almost as much as the Twins in this spot. That's how bad I think Jackson is. I mean, Shields is just like that one little tick worse, or maybe a tick and a half worse than he is. But Jackson's still pretty damn bad, and the top of that lineup looks pretty good. So like Springer, sure. Bregman, Altuve.
You can pay up tonight, right? Like if you go Godley and Weaver, if you, heaven forbid, you go Fears and Weaver on DraftKings, you can get some of those Astros guys in there. So I think it's definitely good to bring
them. And Astros are just like the I mean, every team's the wrong team to face Jackson because he's bad, but they're especially bad because they just don't strike out at all. Like the middle of that lineup, like Altuve is impossible to strike out. Springer's the low strikeout guy. Guy like him really is just going to run into contact all over the place. So a little expensive here for the Astros, but I think that because they're like in the same sort of price range as the Twins will be heavier owned. And I think that for that reason, you can kind of pivot your stack to the Astros and keep sort of like in the same price tier with about as much run upside as the Twins in this spot. Other teams that we want to focus in on here, there's a couple other bad pitchers I can see just going down the list.
Yeah, sure. So I think you could put the Yankees in the same category as you do the Astros. They're up against Jordan Zimmermann. He of the 5.4 xFIP on the heels of last year's 4.8 xFIP. I love stacking against Jordan Zimmermann for basically one reason, and that's that he generates zero ground balls. So through 135 innings pitched this year, he's generated just 32% ground ball rate, which again is sort of like historic levels of low. And then not necessarily bad. Like if you play in a huge spacious park, sometimes you can turn those fly balls into outs, but he doesn't really do that. He turns a significant number of them into home runs. So when you do some quick math here, when you allow only 32% ground balls, but 13.5% of your home runs turn or fly balls turn into home runs, that's a lot of home runs. And over the last two seasons, averaging better than 1.5 home runs per 9. So yeah, like the Yankees, again, they're expensive, but I still think, like, especially you can build around Gary Sanchez on FanDuel. Maybe you get one of the cheaper guys in there as well, or you can go whole hog, you know, just go low on and play like a Luke Weaver type guy, maybe even go down to Zach Odley for big tournaments, and all of a sudden affording them becomes a lot easier. The last guy I had on my list, actually, and this is kind of a similar spot here, but I'm curious to know your take on Asher Woj Siekowski.
You know what's crazy? I was just typing.
That's how he pronounces it.
Yeah, who knows? I've never watched him pitch, so I don't have any idea. But this is like where our brains are kind of like, I don't know, we just spent too much time talking to each other just over the years, or just the old 10,000. It's the 10,000 hour rule for how long we've talked to each other. Just become experts in what the other person's probably about to say. Because as you were talking, I was typing Asher into Fangraphs to take a look at. Because the Cubs they have the same implied runs as some of the other teams that we just talked about. Like just like the Yankees, the Twins, and the Astros are all sort of like hovering around that 5.5 implied runs range right now. I mean, you bring him up because he feels like the guy that I want to avoid out of the whole group that we just mentioned. Like if we're going to look at all the teams and say like they're all basically projected for the same amount of runs, would he be, are you bringing him up because he'd be the guy like me might want to just like not stack against?
I'm just not sure. Like if you look at he's a very, very curious case. So the profiles from a high level look pretty good for this season. But when you actually break it down between starts and pitching out of the bullpen, His ERA out of the bullpen is just positively insane. I think he has 2 earned runs total given up out of the bullpen. Oh, I'm sorry. Now he got blown up in his last start, but so now it's 4 earned runs total. But his starts are all over the place, including his last start, which was at the Chicago Cubs, where he managed to go just 3 2/3 innings and allow 7 runs on the back of 2 home runs. So there's definitely blow-up potential here. I think some people might wind up outthinking the room and looking at his peripherals and saying, man, this guy's like, he's a diamond in the rough. Obviously, you're never going to want to play Adrian Wojciechowski here, but even for stacking purposes, I think I still like it, although I definitely want to admit the risk. I think there is a chance that, you know, anyone who can strike out that number of guys, there's a chance they just string it together. But maybe the Cubs are just put in that category with the, you know, the Yankees and some of these other expensive teams, or the Astros, you know, where if you're going to have to pay up, maybe they're just not the team I wind up keying in on, even in the matchup against Wojciechowski.
Yeah, I mean, all things being equal, the guys we mentioned before just have pretty long track records of not being able to strike anybody out. And he has a pretty long track record, too, of like not striking a ton of guys out, except for recently he has been. And that's the only thing that like kind of worries me a little bit. All the other factors are against him. The ballpark is horrible, or it's great for hitters, I should say. Probably the second best power park in the majors in Great American Ballpark. Yeah, like the Cubs are just a very patient team that can, especially with the middle of the order, that can totally trust you. I just think that if I were tiering all the stack teams that we mentioned before, they would be last among that group, just because I do get a little bit worried about that striker rate. And I'm fully admitting that I'm probably just looking a little too closely at a small sample size, and he has a pretty long sample size of just not really being able to strike anybody out. So I probably just talk myself out of the thing that I was making fun of people for not understanding before. All right, let's get on that note that makes me look bad. Let's get out of here. We are from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com/MLB. Still time to get a free 3-day trial to our projection system. That's going to include NFL optimal lineups. We have our NFL base projections already up there, so you can go start fiddling with FanDuel and DraftKings lineups for week 1 of football. Like I said, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, we'll be back again tomorrow talking a full day of baseball. Enjoy your Wednesday.
Peace.